sold at the checkout counter 7 days a week. Staples sells forever stamps.
If you're having a hard time selling that old car or truck or just don't want the bother of selling it, the WLRN Vehicle Donation Program can help. Just call 877-WLRN-CAR, 877-957-6227, or donate online at WLRN.org. Donating is easy when the tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that just won't sell. That's 877-WLRN-CAR or donate online at WLRN.org.
And it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman on this
Tuesday.
Sometimes I'm not sure. Anyway, today we visit with contributor Donna Ballman. She's an employment and labor law attorney. So, of course, she specializes in rules of the workplace. She's the author of Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired. She's a blogger. And if you have questions, give us a call. That number is 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN, and you can email, that's radio@WLRN.org, and you can tweet
at Topical Currents.
At Topical Currents. A quick disclaimer, this program isn't giving specific legal advice, but simply general information. So welcome to you, Donna Ballman.
Well, glad thank you for you having me back.
It's been our pleasure.
Hey, Donna.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. So let's begin with the hot topic in the news, unpaid internships. What's the lowdown? What's going on?
Well, there have been some cases recently where internships have been determined to be really jobs that should be paid. And so it's really important this time of year, because there are a lot of teens and even 20-somethings out there interning, to know what your rights are regarding internships and when you should be paid and when shouldn't you be paid.
Okay, so it's a little confusing. When should you be paid?
Well, there are some indications that you're in a job rather than an internship, and I'll talk about some of the key ones. If you aren't learning, that's one of the big ones. An internship is supposed to be basically sort of like what you'd get in a vocational program in a vocational school. You're supposed to have a plan where you're going to be building on your learning, and it's a learning program. The other thing is, if you have someone else's job, it's almost a guaranteed job and not an internship. If you find out that you're covering for somebody while they're on maternity leave, that's a job and you need to be paid. If you're on your own, if they throw you in a room and they say, here's the manual and just go do the project and let us know when you're finished, no, you're supposed to be supervised in an internship because, again, you're supposed to be learning. If the company benefits, not you. You're running and getting coffee and dry cleaning and whatever. You're not doing work that's for you and for your benefit. You're doing something where you actually should be paid. They could make money off of it. Then it's not an internship. It's a job.
What if it's a formal internship with a college and you're getting credit for it?
Right. Well,
and not being paid?
And there are a lot of internship programs that are terrific internship programs, and internships are great. And some of them you get community service for if you're in high school, or you can get college credit. So those are usually structured more so that you're going to be learning, because that's the whole point. If it's like a class where you're going to be learning and they have programs where you get to shadow someone, maybe have some formal programs directly for the interns, then it's probably really an internship.
So they don't have to be paid.
Exactly.
What about gas?
There's no requirement that people be reimbursed for gas or anything like that. But again, if you're running errands for somebody, that's probably not an internship. You're probably a messenger or delivery person.
Dressing their Christmas cards.
Not an internship, unless you're interning for Hallmark and maybe learning something about Christmas.
What about a nonprofit and the distinction between volunteers and interns? We've had interns who've worked here for decades at our radio reading service or giving tours of the building, but is strictly a volunteer for a nonprofit.
Well, a volunteer is a volunteer, but there's no such thing as a volunteer for a for-profit company. You can't have it. If a company suffers or permits you to work, that means you show up they know about it, or they find out about it and don't say, get out of here, you're under arrest or something, then you have to be paid. I actually had this with an employer that I was talking to the other day where I was pointing out to him that I had a client who had worked some Saturdays that hadn't been paid. And he said, oh, I've got people that work until 7 o'clock and I let them do it. They want to be here. And I said, well, do you pay them for that? No, they're volunteering. Well, it's a for-profit company. You can't have a volunteer at a for-profit company.
What okay. about someone who wants to, they don't mind any of the conditions. They want to break into the movie business. They want to be on movie sets. They'll be a gopher, or get coffee, do whatever, just to get a foot in the door and get to know people and have some contacts.
Well, the one with Charlie Rose on the Charlie Rose Show. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, movies, that was the, there have been some big cases regarding movies, magazines. When you get these super popular jobs that a lot of people are trying to break into, you find that there's more abuse of interns. And so people may come and they say, I'll do anything, I'll get your coffee, I'll run errands for you, whatever. If you allow them to work and you're not, it's not a true internship, you have to pay them.
I was just thinking the Howard Stern Show is famous for its intern. They even had intern beauty pageants.
I have two scenarios. Okay, so you're in a job right now. You're an unpaid intern. You realize you're listening to this program or you've done research or you've heard about the recent legislation. What do you do?
Well, I would say, look, if it's a good opportunity for you and you want to see how it pans out, then you've got some time. The law that governs it is the Fair Labor Standards Act. And you've also got, of course, things like Florida minimum wage and stuff like that. But it's the Fair Labor Standards Act that's mostly. And you've got 2 years from the date that you weren't paid. And in some cases, 3 years if it was a willful violation, if they know and they're violating the law. So you've got some time. So if you want to wait and see if that job pans out at the end or if maybe it gets better, then you can do that. But I would just say this. Look, if you're in a situation that is not what you expected, you're running and getting coffee for people and you really thought you were going to be learning, get the heck out of there. It's your summer. Wouldn't you rather be at the beach? You're not getting paid, so just get out of there.
Okay.
Again, our telephone number, we're speaking with employment and labor law expert Donna Ballman. Our number is 1-800-743-9576. Also email radio@wlrn.org
and you can tweet us at Topical Currents. So Donna, what about lawsuits? Can they ultimately hurt if, like, the plaintiff who wants to get the job in the same industry they're bringing suit against, then maybe they'll never get a job?
Be blackballed?
Well, it is public record if you file a lawsuit, so it's a concern. Interestingly, under the Fair Labor Standards Act, your current employer can't retaliate against you for filing a lawsuit, but potential employers maybe can. There's some some cases out there that say that maybe potential employers can discriminate against you because you filed suit for unpaid wages against a former employer. So it's a risky thing. So, but I would say talk to a lawyer about your specific situation and see what your rights are. You've got to stand up if you don't want to be abused. And if you think that you're owed money, then you've got to speak up. And you could be entitled, listen, there are good remedies. You can get double the amount that you're owed under the Fair Labor Standards Act. And under some of the wage theft ordinances, Dade and Broward have wage theft ordinances, you could get double or triple the amount that you're owed. So it's probably worthwhile looking into.
Now, what about this business? If, say, I was working at McDonald's and I was making minimum wage, but somebody, a teenager with a summer job, would make $3 an hour less than I.
Not in Florida. Not in Florida. So there's a federal law about that, but you always look at which has the more restrictions and more requirements on the employer. And Florida law has more requirements. So Florida, the minimum wage for untipped employees is $7.79. And there's a different minimum wage for tipped employees, which is $4.77 an hour. So there's no child minimum wage or teen minimum wage like there is in many states. So we're lucky here.
So there are some states where they get $3 less an hour, and that's legal.
Oh, yeah. There's the federal law. The last time they raised the minimum wage, or maybe a couple times ago, they said that, federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, but for the first 90 days of a new job for teens, they can pay as little as $4.25 an hour if you're under 20. So that's federal law. But Florida law, we have the minimum wage amendment, and so we are governed by Florida law, which is amazingly better than federal law. It's not usual that Florida law is better than federal law.
So in all of these, just going back to the internships, just for one second, paid and unpaid, do you need to be told up front whether or not you're going to be paid?
Well, yeah, and that's one of the indications that you have a job, is if you show up and they never told you you weren't going to be paid, you expected to be paid, and then you're working for a while, and all of a sudden, where's my check? When am I going to get paid? Oh, you're in an internship. That's an indication that you're probably not really in an internship and that you should be paid.
Okay.
Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we can
take
some telephone calls. We'll be back with more.
This is Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and NPR for the Florida Keys, 91.5 WKWM. On Monday, July 1st, there are two readings in the Summer Theater Fest reading series, The Gift by Michael Leeds at Parade Productions at 7:30 p.m., and Moments of Grace by Bob Bowersox at Theater XP at 8 p.m. No matter where you are, we've got a show for you. Get in bed with the arts.
Direct from Buenos Aires, Ocho premieres at the Arts Center. Ocho features dancers, aerialists, and musicians performing entire tango routines in the air. It's spectacular, sensuous, and breathtaking, says the New York Times. Performers leap, swivel, and fly in this sultry kaleidoscope of movement, performing to hip-hop and tango-infused music. It's a sexy, exhilarating, gravity-defying world, says the Ottawa Citizen. Ocho is only in Miami for 2 weeks, June 20th through 30th. Information at artscenter.org.
You can find Topical Currents on Facebook, a dedicated page with daily program descriptions, links to our guests, authors, and books. Facebook.com/topicalcurrents.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman here with Joseph Cooper, and we're visiting with employment and labor law attorney Donna Ballman.
And we're at your service.
And we're at your service. And so we're taking your calls about anything. I mean, about workplace conditions.
You can ask me your medical questions. You won't get good advice, though.
And we're going to talk about medical stuff also in terms of being employed. And the number is 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-9576. You can email radio at WLRN.org, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents. Off the subject of what we've been talking about, I just want to somebody is fired, is that the only way they can get unemployment? Are there other conditions under which, if you quit, you can get unemployment?
If you quit for cause attributable to the employer, then you can get unemployment. Now, it's tough in Florida.
Like if they may want to transfer you to another city or something.
Well, if you refuse to accept a demotion, if they cut your pay, if you're sexually harassed and just had to get the heck out of there because they wouldn't fix the situation, those would be causes attributable to the employer. It's tough in Florida, though.
What if you're being picked on?
If you're being picked on, bullied.
Or you perceive it.
It would have to be pretty severe, I'd say, in Florida. Remember that we've got a system where they're really trying to cut back on awarding unemployment. So I'd say when in doubt, assume you're not going to get it if you quit. So just be careful.
Okay.
And we'll take some calls. This is Larry in North Miami Beach. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Joe, Bonnie, and Donna.
Hi there. Hi,
Larry. Last time you were here, you gave us the wonderful quote. There's been an incredible uptick of cruelty. Thank you for that quote.
Oh,
thank you
my
for
pleasure.
Your passion.
My question,
I have an age discrimination case coming up with the EOC going to mediation. They have an attorney. What can I expect? And could you give me some advice? Thank you. And thank you for coming by and visiting.
Oh, my pleasure. EEOC is the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and that's the federal agency that handles employment discrimination claims. It's not a lawsuit. It's a prerequisite to filing a lawsuit for all kinds of discrimination. The state agency that's the equivalent is the Florida Commission on Human Relations. So your first step is you file a charge of discrimination, and then they're going to ask you, do you want to mediate? Well, mediate is basically an organized settlement conference where they have a person who's trained, and they've got some really terrific mediators. mediators at Miami EEOC. So I recommend you say yes. And then it's going to be an organized conference. Everybody agrees that that settlement conference is confidential. So what you discuss in there is going to be, you can't go to the media and say, this is what they told me in the mediation, but they can't either. So it's confidential, and the idea is to try to reach a settlement that everybody can live with. You're not going to get 100%. They can't award you money, but it's a settlement conference. If at the end of that settlement conference you can't reach an agreement, then it just goes to the investigator, and the investigators are going to take it from there. They're going to investigate your charge, and at the end you're going to either get a determination that they're unable to determine whether or not there's cause, probably 99% of the cases get that, if there's any disputed evidence, or you're going to get a cause finding. And then what you get for the cause finding is you get what's called conciliation, where they take another shot at settling it. If it doesn't settle, then EEOC actually looks at it from their legal department and say, do we want to file this lawsuit on behalf of the person? I wouldn't count on that, because they're really looking for
So you wouldn't have to pay for themes. That.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I tell people it's about as likely as getting struck by lightning twice in the same spot. They're looking for things that affect large numbers of people. So an individual claim, probably not. But if they find out that you're part of a giant pattern with a company or an employer, then maybe they'll pursue it.
Can an individual get an attorney to represent them on a contingency basis?
Well, different attorneys handle things differently. The problem with EEOC is they can't award money. So doing it on a contingency basis, unless it's part of the mediation.
But a court could.
Yeah, a court can award money. So your next step after EEOC is you get the right to sue, and then you can file a lawsuit under either the Title VII or the Florida Civil Rights Act or both. And it's a long, drawn-out process.
And could that be done on contingency?
I don't know too many attorneys who do that on a straight contingency, maybe partial contingency, where you pay some money up front and then a percentage. I'm sure there are some people out there that do it on a contingency. You'd probably be responsible for court costs as you went along. But different attorneys handle it differently.
Okay.
So talk to one.
And let's take Pito, P-I-T-O, Pompano Beach. Hi. Go ahead. Oop. He fell off. Let's see. We'll move to Furman in Miami. Hi.
Hello, good afternoon. My daughter is a tax accountant, and she was working at a place here in Miami. And she let them know that she was pregnant. She's expecting. And the week afterwards, they laid her off. And I'm just wondering, is that something that is allowable? And the other thing, she's been looking for jobs. And another firm said, okay, we'll hire you, but only after you have your baby.
What kind of work did you say she did?
Tax accountant, I think.
Tax accountant.
Do they have at least 15 employees at this company?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, there's under federal and state law, if they have at least 15 employees, they're covered for pregnancy discrimination. In Miami and in Broward, they're covered if they have at least 5 employees. So pregnancy discrimination is illegal. You cannot fire somebody because they're pregnant, or because you think they might take family and medical leave, or because you assume that they're not going to come back after they give birth or anything like that. You can't make assumptions.
So
but
she
can they
has...
limit how long you're gone, though?
Well, that depends on whether you have family and medical leave or not. But going back to this particular situation, yeah, it sounds like they fired her as soon as they found out she was pregnant. So, yeah, it sounds like she was...
It's not firing. I think they laid her off and they said, business is slow because, you know, tax season is seasonal, right? And they just said, well, it's a good time to let you go.
Well... I would say in a layoff, if there's a legitimate layoff, then just because you're pregnant, it doesn't make you immune. But if you're chosen for a layoff because you're pregnant, say you're more senior than other people who would normally have been laid off before you or something like that, then that would be illegal. So it depends. It's a fact-specific situation. You might want to talk to an attorney about her specific facts. So again, for 5 or more employees, you've got an ordinance in Dade and in Broward. And if there's 15 or more employees, then you're covered under state and federal law. And then the people who are saying they refuse to hire her until after she gives birth, again, that's illegal, assuming they meet that number of employees cutoff. Small employers aren't covered by any discrimination laws regarding pregnancy. So if they've got 1 to 4 employees, no, you're out of luck.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for your call.
All right, I will be leaving, Vanessa, my current position to attend school full-time. Will I be eligible for unemployment?
Probably not. I don't know of any exception to leave for education. And in fact, when you're getting unemployment, you have to say that you're ready, willing, and able to work, and you are have to apply. You have to show them that you're applying for jobs on a regular basis, a certain number per week. So probably not.
Okay.
How about if you've been employed for a period, can that be used, and unemployed for a period, can that be used as an excuse not to be hired in a new position with a new firm?
Well, there are some states that are making discrimination against the unemployed illegal, but Florida's not one of them. We're always behind in those things. There are states that are making all kinds of things illegal, like using credit history and stuff against you, but not in Florida. So you can be discriminated against because you are unemployed.
Okay, yes. Credit history. Let's talk about that. Can you be terminated or denied a raise based on a bad credit report? And where do you draw the line? What's considered? Who decides what's good and what's bad?
Well, your employer decides. And in Florida, it's not one of those states. There are 10 states, Nevada being the most recent, 10 states that have made using credit history against people illegal. Now, there are some people that are looking at it. EEOC is one of the people, one of the groups that's looking at credit history, and they say that using credit history may have an impact against women and minorities. So if your employer is using bad credit against everybody and it's impacting women or minorities differently than it's impacting whites, then you may have a discrimination claim. But they can't just do it and surprise, oh, we did a credit check on you. You have to sign something saying that you agree to it. But most people tell me, oh, I didn't sign anything. I say, well, did they hand you a giant stack of documents when you started or when you applied? Yeah. Do you think that there might have been a consent to a credit check in there? Well, maybe. It has to be a separate document, but it can be handed in with
shuffled
a bunch of papers,
others.
Your application or whatever. Right. Most people sign it and don't even think about it. But if you're presented with something like that, you have to sign it if you want to apply for the job. But if you've got bad credit, then you need to start thinking about how you're going to explain yourself with that employer. And the reason that employers look at credit history is there is some assumption that if you have bad credit, maybe you're more likely to embezzle or be blackmailed or just in general be a bad employee, that maybe you just don't have what it takes to work for people. And I would say, look, that doesn't make sense anymore. We had a recession where we had a 10% unemployment. There are a lot of people that were great employees, and then all of a sudden they got wham, hit with unemployment, and then they maybe got hit with medical bills
or
and stuff like that.
Or foreclosure.
Yes, exactly.
Had to run up credit cards.
Yeah. And so you've got people with bad credit, and I would say to employers, look, being poor does not mean you're dishonest. We're a country based on immigrants and poor people. Give me you're tired, you're poor. So why are we assuming that poor people are more dishonest than rich people? I don't think that's true.
What if I've been an exemplary employee for a number of years, but my employer goes on my Facebook page and sees that I'm kind of hanging out at a lot of wild parties and look pretty intense and say, I don't want you working for me anymore?
Yeah. You know what? Florida's, again, one of those states that's behind the times. There are some states that are making, there are actually employers that ask for your Facebook passwords and your social media passwords and want to look at that stuff before they hire you or even during employment. In some states, that's illegal, but not in Florida. They can look at your Facebook page. I tell people, assume that your Facebook page is going to be looked at by your employer. Don't put anything on there that you don't want on the company newsletter.
Getting back to the credit score, if you refuse to sign the paper, if you happen to notice that there is a paper in there saying that they're going to check your credit score and you refuse to sign it, is that grounds not to hire you?
Yeah, but okay. If they run it anyhow, then you have a claim against them. And then there are hoops that they have to jump through. Look, it's the Fair Credit Reporting Act that governs this. If they're going to take adverse action against you, they have to give you a pre-adverse action notice, and it has to have all kinds of things in it. So if they're going to refuse to hire you or if they're going to fire you because of it, then they have to tell you why. You're entitled to get that credit report and find out what the agency was. And then you're also you're entitled to get another notice when they make that decision. We've made that decision not to hire you, whatever. And then there's another notice. So they have some hoops that they have to jump through. So if you think that you've been denied employment based on bad credit, you might want to talk to a lawyer or look at the Fair Credit Reporting Act and what hoops they have to jump through.
Do we have time for one more call before the break?
How about one more call? Okay. Let's go to Joe in Key Largo. Hey there.
Hello, it's Joe from Key Largo.
Okay, hi Joe.
All right, I have a question. It's a little strange. I work as a contract technician, and I believe the company I work for out of Massachusetts, they also hire Mexican guest workers. And what happened was they got to go to a job in Washington, and I didn't get to go. What I was told by the recruiter was that they were only taking returnees to that facility. Then I found out that the guest workers were not returnees, and they got to go. And I thought there's some sort of law prohibiting that and giving favorable employment to the American.
Well, there's no such thing as having to favor Americans. However, there are certain immigration statuses that the employer has to show that there aren't any U.S. citizens or permanent residents that are available for those jobs. So that's one thing. But they can't refuse to take you because you're a U.S. citizen or because of your race or national origin. So if they're picking people just because they're from a different nationality and they're taking them, then that would be illegal discrimination based on race, national origin, and maybe some other categories.
I think it's financial because I believe the guest workers make less money.
Mm. Well, they could be violating an immigration law depending on the immigration status of those guest workers. If they can show that there are Americans available to do those jobs, then there may be something illegal going on there. But I would just focus on discrimination issues and see if maybe there's an argument for discrimination.
Okay, we have to.
How would I look into that?
Well, I would talk to an attorney in Florida.
And
attorneys that do employee side employment law, you can find them. In Florida has a National Employment Lawyers Association, so Florida NELA, NELA, and it's I think it's FloridaNELA.org is the website.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and there's
thank
also
you very
national
much.
NELA.org.
Okay, thank
All
you.
All right,
good
thank
luck.
You very much, and have a nice day.
My pleasure.
We're speaking with Donna Ballman. She's an employment and labor law attorney about your workplace questions. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back and take more of your calls. Stay with us.
This is 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM. NPR for the Florida Keys. Back to a topical currents in just a moment. Mostly cloudy now in Miami, 89 degrees, 30% chance of showers for the rest of the day.
Hi, this is Guy Raz from NPR. You may have heard the TED Radio Hour on WLRN last summer. Now, a brand new TED Radio Hour is on the way. Starting this July, join me each Saturday at 2 p.m. for a journey through fascinating ideas and new ways to think and create, based on riveting TED Talks from the world's most remarkable minds. It's the TED Radio Hour with me, Guy Raz, each Saturday afternoon at 2, starting in July, here on WLRN.
You can join the Greater Miami Youth Symphony for their advanced camp finale concert on Friday, June 28th at 1 p.m., South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, Miami. The program includes jazz, classical, and patriotic selections, including Strike Up the Band by Gershwin, Bizet's Carmen Suite, America the Beautiful, and Cramer's Clavinet Concerto with student soloist Natalia Fumero. Large groups are welcome. Tickets and information at 786-573-5300 or smdcac.org.
And 35 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and attorney Donna Ballman. She specializes in employment and labor laws. We're at your service. Let's see who's waited the longest. This is Line 6, Peter in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks for your patience. Hi.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Yes. Well, basically, it's a multiple question. I was working for an employer here in Miami. We had an agreement that I was doing some sweat equity for him. I was his general manager, working in Fort Lauderdale. Also, did some work for him in New York and New Jersey. He ended up selling the businesses, and I haven't gotten paid a dime.
Well, the idea behind sweat equity is that you're supposed to get an ownership interest. So if you didn't get that, then you should estimate your hours and you should be paid. You're probably owed something.
And I expected that. The thing is, he basically sat back and said, well, if you want something, sue me.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a double dog dare, and I think you got to take it.
Yeah, well,
I guess it depends on how much is involved.
Dade County also has a wage theft ordinance, so there's actually a pretty decent wage theft program here. You can file with the county. And
He's in Fort Lauderdale. How about in Broward?
There is a Broward County process, too, for wages that are owed. For Broward, it started at the beginning of this year, so if there's wages owed before that, then you're out of luck. But for wages owed this year, you can file in Broward.
Okay, perfect. And how would I contact them? Because he knows that I'm low on capital because of what he did, so he expects me not to do anything.
Well, if you Google the Miami-Dade or the Broward Wage Theft Ordinance, you'll find the contact information. It's online, and they've got the forms that you fill out, and it's a pretty easy process. I haven't gone through all the way the Broward process yet because it's relatively new, but I've been through the Dade process, and we've had some pretty good luck at getting those things through, and it moves a lot faster than court.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for your call.
Okay. The Affordable Care Act, you're part-time, you don't get health insurance. Is that changing?
The Affordable Care Act, part-time, you're probably still not going to get it. And the requirements on employers, it depends on the size of the employer. The anti-discrimination provisions kick in at the beginning of next year. So right now what you're seeing is a lot of employers are cutting people back to part-time and shuffling employment around before those anti-discrimination provisions kick in. So right now if an employer cuts you back down to try to avoid that, that may be allowed. But once the year changes and it's 2014, then your employer can no longer discriminate against you because you would have to be covered under the Affordable Care Act.
So now they can do it before 2014 and get away with it?
It looks like it, yeah, probably. Hmm. Although, certainly, I think that lawyers like me are going to be looking at that carefully.
Right. And probably maybe it'll be retroactive.
It's not. The anti-discrimination provisions are not retroactive, but once those discrimination provisions kick in, you're probably going to see some lawsuits and maybe relating to some things that happened this year.
Okay. Donna Ballman, tell me, what's the most common petty reason that people are fired?
The most common petty reason?
Yeah.
There are a lot of them. Listen, we're in an at-will state. Every state but Montana is an at-will state, which means they can fire you for any reason or no reason at all. They don't have to have a reason.
What about obesity?
Obesity?
Or they don't like the way you dress.
Yeah.
Or you look in general.
Yeah. Listen, appearance discrimination is mostly legal, but I would say for obesity, you might be covered under the Americans with Disabilities Act. If that obesity is something that affects a daily life activity, then you could be covered under the Americans with Disabilities Act. There's no law against weight discrimination, but there is the Americans with Disabilities Act. So that could be illegal.
Okay.
And we go to line 7, Brian in Miami. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I wanted to find out, are there any laws protecting individuals that are paid salary that are overworked as compared to people that are paid hourly? Obviously, there's overtime laws for hourly workers, but does the same apply for salary workers in any cases?
Well, just because you're salary doesn't mean you're automatically exempt from overtime. And I would say a lot of employers get this wrong. So there are very limited exemptions. If you are a professional, professional is like a lawyer.
Or you're a supervisor.
A doctor. If you're an executive, you supervise people. You're an administrator where you work a lot on your own. You have a lot of decision-making authority. Those are the kinds of professions that may be exempt. The Department of Labor has a handy-dandy website that talks about all these exemptions. So DOL.gov, you can look on there, and they've got a Fair Labor Standards Act guide, all kinds of guidances. They actually have a thing where you can click the buttons, and you say, well, do I fit in this category? Do I fit in this category? Do I fit in this category? And then
it's
says
DOL.gov.
Yeah, DOL.gov, and look for the Fair Labor Standards Act information. They've got fact sheets. They've got checklists. They've got all kinds of information.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Call. What about drug testing? If it's mandatory, you have to, it's legal.
Yeah, it is legal. Now, they're supposed to ask you before the drug test if you're on any kind of prescription medication. So if you have prescriptions that may be protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act, you need to disclose those. They should not fire you because you test positive. But listen, there are a lot of false positives. And if you eat a poppy seed bagel, you could test positive for heroin. So there are a lot of things that can cause you to test false positive. And you have certain rights that you can have the sample retested and stuff like that. But if it's a false positive, it's probably going to come out, again, a false positive. So, yeah, I think personally most of the drug testing laws are pretty bad. But it's something that we have chosen in Florida to implement. And we actually, employers get a discount on their workers' compensation if they implement those.
Oh my, so it's actually, they're encouraged.
Yes, to employers are encouraged in Florida to do that, as they are in many states.
Okay.
And let's move on to Jim in Sunrise. Hi.
Hi, thank you very much. I had worked for an employer for 10 years. And I had expressed an interest, but not the fact of resigning. I was thinking about it and let them know, to be fair. They kind of let me go at that point. And then I recently started reviewing my old pay stubs and discovered a few $100s that they owed me. And so I looked at some more pay stubs and discovered a few more hundred, and then looked at some more. And now going back 2 or 3 years, I discover I was shorted in that time period probably $6,000 or $7,000.
Well, listen, you've got a 2-year statute of limitations for most unpaid wages in Florida. If it's something that violates the Fair Labor Standards Act, like minimum wage, overtime, and stuff like that, you have up to 3 years. If it's a willful violation, if it was accidental, then it's still only 2 years. But yeah, you can go back. And in Dade County, you have that wage theft ordinance where you can go back a little ways.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
And next up, we have Alex in Pembroke Pines. Hey, Alex.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question regarding contractors. After working for a global technology company for 13 years, the company went broke. And so I took a contractor job at one of the top software companies in the world. They have an office in Fort Lauderdale. And it seemed like half of the employees were contractors. And the work that I did was pretty much an employee, although I was getting paid probably half the salary and no benefits. I noticed that a lot of the people that work there have been working there for years as contractors. I wonder what the law says about that, and when do you differentiate between a contractor and an employee?
Well, an employee is somebody that they have certain job rules. They can't work for other employers. The employer can discipline them. They can decide when they get vacation. They provide the materials. They set their hours. So that's an employee. And a contractor is somebody who can...
Maybe you're hired to maintain the air conditioning.
Well, yeah, and they can come and go as they please. They're hired for the job. So as long as you get the job done, you come and go. You don't have to ask permission to take vacation. You can hire your own people. Most people who are contractors are misclassified, and most people who are labeled contractors are employees. And there are a couple of places that you can go to remedy that. The IRS actually looks very harshly on employers who misclassify employees.
Because they're not putting withholding
in. Yes, because they have to pay their share of employment taxes. There's a handy-dandy form called the SS-8 form, and it goes through all those criteria that may make you an employee, and you send it in, and the IRS can actually determine that you're an employee. The Department of Labor also is cracking down hard on employers that are
misclassified. Then what does the IRS do?
Well, they would go back at them for all those back taxes. So you could be owed, you end up paying double the employment taxes, basically. You end up paying the employer's share and their share. So the IRS could actually go after them for those back taxes that they owed. And so you could get some of that back. Once you're classified as an employee, well, you've got all those employment laws that protect you. You've got the Fair Labor Standards Act. You've got discrimination laws. All those things suddenly protect you. And Obamacare is going to kick in. So you're going to see a lot of employers trying to classify people as contractors to avoid Obamacare. It's not going to work. It's illegal.
But can they retaliate?
Can the employer retaliate because you go to the IRS against them? Well, that would be illegal, and IRS would probably look harshly at that, too. I wouldn't mess with the IRS if I were them. The Department of Labor, too. If you go to the Department of Labor because you think you're misclassified, they also have anti-retaliation rules.
Okay. We're speaking with Donna Ballman, employment and labor law attorney. We're at your service today. She's also written, well, more than one book, right?
Yes, two books.
Two books. The last one, Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired. And we'll come back and take more calls. Stay with us.
This is Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and NPR for the Florida Keys, 91.5 WKWM. The disease of addiction doesn't discriminate based on age or status. Comprehensive addiction treatment and recovery offered for older adults and baby boomers at Hanley Center. 855-718-2233. Hanley Center, recovery for life.
Take Stock in Children, a Florida-based scholarship mentoring program, is looking for adults who can spend about an hour a week with a deserving student. 1 hour weekly, a time as convenient as your lunch break, increases the likelihood that a student will graduate high school and college. Since 1995, Take Stock in Children has helped over 19,000 Florida students fulfill their dream of higher education. Mentoring info is at TakeStockInChildren.org. Take Stock in Children. Change a life over lunch.
Hello, it's Bonnie Berman. Join us for Wednesday's Topical Currents and a discussion with Columbia University neuroscientist and substance abuse research professor, Dr. Carl Hart. He's written Huge Price, a neuroscientist's journey of self-discovery that challenges everything you know about drugs and society. His insights come firsthand. He grew up in Miami's Carroll City area and overcame long odds to reach the Ivy League. Don't miss Topical Currents Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents at your service. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Byrne and attorney Donna Ballman. We're talking about employment and labor laws and such and taking a lot of calls. Donna Ballman, how about contact information for you before it gets too late and we forget?
Oh, my website is ballmanfirm.com. That's BallmanFirm.com. And we've got contact forms on there and we have a lot of information about employment laws on there.
Okay, and we move along. This is Frank in Miami. Hi. Frank, go ahead.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Frank, and I work for a large multinational. It's a big financial institution, and I'm in the middle of a whistleblowing case, which I have already gone to the SEC for what I'm working on. My question is, do I have any internal protection against me for discrimination if I have not been fired, but I have been passed on promotions and I have been, I took a pay cut this year and several other things that have happened to me. That's one thing. The other thing is that this company works in Latin America and they usually hire a lot of high senior positions from people in Latin America before considering posting the position here locally in Miami. That's another form of discrimination, and I wanted to learn your thoughts on that.
Well, any employee who's working is protected from discrimination based on denial of a promotion, demotion. Anything that affects you in the wallet certainly is an adverse action that could be subject to discrimination laws. So you could be talking in your situation about maybe national origin discrimination if they're favoring people from Latin America. So yes, the laws do protect you. And of course, they can't retaliate against you for blowing the whistle, so you may have additional protections there.
Okay, thank you. And I went to Tallahassee. I mean, I on the case of discrimination or general bad hiring practices, I don't have a case personally because I haven't applied for those positions, but it's just a general bad practice. And I went through Tallahassee, and I just had to go through a lot of loops, and I didn't get to. And my question is there any hotline that you can just put general complaints out there for bad practices or hiring or firing practices.
Well, just bad practices aren't necessarily illegal, but if you are objecting to an illegal practice like discrimination, correct, you can report them to the EEOC. You don't have to be filing a charge of discrimination on your own behalf. You can file on behalf of other people and say you object to that practice.
Okay, thanks for calling. What about pre-employment medical exams? Are they legal and can they be used to discriminate against prospective employees?
In general, there's nothing illegal about pre-employment medical exams, but there could be. There was a recent case where pre-employment medical exams were found to violate the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. It's illegal for employers to discriminate because of genetic diseases. So if a pre-employment medical exam turns out to shows that you have the gene for a particular genetic disorder, then that could be illegal. They also can't discriminate against you because they find out that you're pregnant or because you have a disability, or because maybe they find out that you're older than they thought you were, something like that. There could be all kinds of discrimination issues in these pre-employment medical exams.
If they find out you're older, that means that you had lied on your...
Well, they're not supposed to ask you how old you are when you apply. So
that's
some people
right.
look pretty
yeah,
young.
Of course.
And in Florida, by the way, it's illegal to discriminate against you because you're too young as well. So that's one of those quirks in Florida employment law. The Florida Civil Rights Act says they can't discriminate against you because you are too young. So if you have better qualifications than older employees, that's also illegal.
What about that old bromide, you're overqualified for this job?
Well, that's certainly kind of an excuse for age discrimination, isn't it? The theory that employers have is, well, somebody who's overqualified, they're not going to stay. They're just looking for something. And when they find something that really meets their qualifications, they're going to leave. But that's not so true anymore because people are very desperate to work. And
you have PhDs going for hourly employment.
Yeah, older employees are more dedicated and more serious, and some of them have been unemployed for a long time. So that can be an excuse for age discrimination, and if you're better qualified than the person who was hired, it could be age discrimination.
Getting back to the medical stuff for a second, what about medical histories? Are they allowed to make you fill out your medical history?
Well, for a pre-employment medical exam, that's a concern, because if they're asking about your medical history and asking about your parents' backgrounds and things, which is normal for a doctor to do, for a normal exam, it could be a violation of the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination
okay.
Act, and also it could disclose the existence of a disability. So there could be some problems there.
Okay.
Once again, Donna, before we forget, give out that information, your website again.
BallmanFirm.com. That's BallmanFirm.com.
Okay, we're very short on time, but we're going to Owen in Pembroke Pines. Hi.
Hey, Bonnie. And Joe, question for the lawyer here. Is there such a thing as blacklisting? I mean, or is there some kind of website or underlying thing where previous employers can put the reasons you were terminated or whether or not it's true, and then a future employer can look at that and say, hey, I won't hire this guy or person because of what happened in the past?
Well, there's nothing illegal about giving a bad reference in Florida. In fact, references are legally protected in Florida. But what they can't do is give false information about you. That could be defamation if they're giving out false information, saying you were a thief and you weren't, or saying some other stuff. But let's say that in a reference check, they say, oh, well, we didn't like him, he was a poor performer or whatever, then that's probably legal, and a lot of employers get away with that. So it's a difficult issue.
Well, this is my particular situation. I was pretty much let go from a job because there was some deviation from the numbers that should have been there and what was actually there. I personally knew I did nothing wrong. My immediate supervisor, all my coworkers knew there was nothing there. A couple of months afterwards, while I was out the country, I got a call from a co-worker saying that the bank pretty much messed up, and they found after they did whatever reviews and checks, they went to the bank quarterly.
Let's get a quick answer because we have to be running.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if they say we fired him for poor performance or something like that, is that defamation? Mostly probably not. But if you have performance reviews that were stellar and then they fired you for discrimination or something like that, then it could be defamation. And it could also be illegal retaliation if there was something like they fired you right after you made a discrimination claim or blew the whistle or something like that.
Was he saying that the bank, they found out that he did nothing wrong after, though?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a big problem because under at-will laws, they even though you did nothing wrong, they can still fire you. Mm. And they can say, oh, we just fired him because we didn't like him or he wasn't a good fit or something like that. That's legal.
Well, we want to thank you, Donna Ballman. It's been a very interesting hour. Donna Ballman is an employment and labor attorney, excuse me, and she's also the author of Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for joining us this hour. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get on the air. Our producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction from Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary is online producer. We have free audio archives and downloads of this and past programs at our website, WLRN.org. Also, much more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program is with neuroscientist Dr. Carl Hart. He's done some amazing research on substance abuse and their surrounding misconceptions. Hart grew up in Miami's Carroll City. Now a turn of the last century calendar for today. On this day in 1904, 109 years ago, the birth of actor Peter Lorre in Hungary. He had roles in The Maltese Falcon and Casablanca, of course. And on this day in 1906, 107 years ago, New York architect Stanford White is shot dead by a jealous husband atop Madison Square Garden, which he had designed. One more before we're hauled off to room 101. On this day in 1903, 110 years ago, the birth of writer Eric Arthur Blair in Mantahari, India. Pen name, George Orwell. Animal Farm, 1984, Down and Out in Paris and London. Our theme music, created by Michael Levine. We wrap up with a thought from Orwell, who also fought in and covered the Spanish Revolution. Quote, every generation imagines itself to be more intelligent than the one that went before it and wiser than the one that comes after it. How true. This is Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.